Marrying our existing expertise in decarbonization and infrastructure, it's a perfect partnership.
I completely agree with Larry. This is going to be the golden age of infrastructure investing, both in terms of the need for capital as well as investors who want that capital. Okay.
In a move that's raising alarms across the nation, BlackRock, through its 2024 acquisition of Global Infrastructure Partners, or GIP, has surged into direct ownership of U.S. energy infrastructure.
BlackRock, one of the largest asset managers on Earth, which owns just about everything, appears to be quietly buying up huge pieces of the U.S. energy grid. But don't worry, they say it's all about building infrastructure for artificial intelligence, so don't worry about it. Nothing to see here.
Shifting from passive investor to hands-on controller of critical utilities and grids.
The company BlackRock that's f***ing everybody in America, they're going to be buying utility companies now. That's right, utility companies. They've already purchased an electric company up in Minnesota. F*** you. They have plans to invest hundreds of billions of dollars into the utility market here in the United States so you can watch your electricity and gas bills go up to nosebleed levels.
The Minnesota Public Utilities Commission approved a $6.2 billion takeover of Elite, parent of Minnesota Power, by a BlackRock-led consortium with Canada Pension Plan in October of 2025, granting private equity majority control over power serving 150,000 customers.
This $6.2 billion deal follows months of debate and pushback from groups across Minnesota.
It is not always going to be in the financial best interest of BlackRock to keep our rates as low as possible. That's not the business that they're in. They're in the business of making profit from as many things as possible.
I'm a Minnesota Power customer. So if you have read stories over the years about beloved brands like Joann's or Red Lobster being driven into the ground by private equity, now imagine if that was your utility, because that's where private equity sector is going, as they have extracted all of the value out of the retail and service sector that they can. They are increasingly turning their attention to infrastructure and the things that make up the material basis of our lives.
Meanwhile, GIP is in advanced talks for a potential $38 billion acquisition of AES Corporation, which is a major player with renewable assets nationwide.
Larry's team drafts the game plan for restructuring portfolios, valuing toxic assets, and bailing out collapsing banks. Larry Fink had turned the greatest financial disaster of a generation into his greatest triumph. While American finance takes years to rebound, he emerges with friends in high places, more money than ever, and what he's always wanted, the influence of a president, a company like a world power, without a single campaign nor a single vote, true power. And while no one was taking notice, he has created a playing field where, no matter what, BlackRock always wins.
Thousands of miles of overhead pylons will be erected to connect offshore wind farms, solar farms, data sheds, and millions of cars and other renewable sources to that national grid.
In Texas, BlackRock's footprint grows via GIP-owned firms like Eolian, developing massive battery storage projects such as the Padua complex near San Antonio to stabilize ERCOT amid retiring fossil plants and exploding AI-driven demand.
Blackstone is currently in the process of purchasing the Texas-New Mexico grid. BlackRock actually started under Blackstone, and while they still claim that they're separate now, if you look at their yearly reports and their quarterly reports, they still push the ESG narrative. The Texas Attorney General here has a lawsuit against BlackRock for that very reason, where they were manipulating the grids and pushing solar and wind technology and offsetting coal and oil and gas because of them pushing this ESG narrative.
Consumer advocates and experts warn of profit-driven models loading debt onto the utilities, slashing accountability, and hiking residential bills to subsidize big tech clients, eroding public oversight of essential infrastructure serving millions, and private equity prioritizes returns over resilience. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you guys are joining us today. A lot going on over here. Welcome back. Happy Wednesday, everyone. Second hour of the program. We're kicking it off right now with Congressman Andy Ogles joining us in just one moment. I wanted to bring you an update, though. As many of you guys know, we've covered it. I've covered it extensively on my X page. There was a brutal, brutal sexual assault that took place in Tennessee. It was absolutely heartbreaking when you read through the details. So once I saw this story pop up, I reached out to DHS because I wanted to see if this individual who was apparently sexually assaulting a woman outside of a southern Nashville church on the steps of that church, well, she later died. The woman apparently was unconscious. How do we know this? Well, first responders were the ones who were driving past this church at 9:30 p.m. and they noticed what was happening. So the suspect in this case, his name was 30, they say he's 39. These ages, tread lightly on these ages, is a 39-year-old man named Mohammed Mohammed. Now, this individual is the one who is currently being accused of raping this woman outside of a church. Now, again, first responders apparently were the ones there to intervene, but this woman did not survive. Now, again, I reached out to DHS as soon as I saw this story come out. This was back in August. And they did confirm that they do believe that this is not a U.S. citizen. Now, it's a very common name, obviously, so tread lightly on that issue. Unfortunately, even in that jail, there was multiple Mohammed Mohammeds. Now, if you're wondering who this individual is, according to reports, he was brought into the country by, well, obviously, the Obama regime. And he's been living here. He's from Somalia, of course. Surprise, surprise. But how was he able to get back onto our streets repeatedly after having a very lengthy criminal record? Well, multiple judges, of course, Democrats, decided to just continuously release this guy. So he was arrested, release, and none of them really wanted to intervene in any of this. They just kept doing it. Well, these judges don't like being called out when they decide to do stuff like this. They think that you and I should just deal with it, tolerate it. Whenever they want to release a violent criminal back onto the street who has a long history of committing criminal acts, obviously, good luck to you. But if you dare to out them for what they've done to the American people and putting us all at risk, well, they don't seem to like it. Congressman Andy Ogles has done just that. He actually went through this man's criminal record and just decided to detail what judges kept releasing him. Now, because he put the names out there, they weren't too happy. And now they've written a letter, it looks like, to the governor of Tennessee, asking the governor for heightened security because they feel threatened by the comments. Joining us now to answer about all of this, the great congressman from the great state of Tennessee, Andy Ogles joins us now. We're excited to have him on the program today. There's a lot to discuss here. Congressman, thank you for joining. I'm excited to have you on. You're obviously one of the very few who are putting up a fight on all of this. We have sadly been infiltrated by people that do not share our values and think it's okay to do acts like this. You know, he's accused of sexually assaulting this woman outside of a church. Obviously, first responders stepping in, and sadly, this woman did not survive. So you decided to go through his criminal record and detail what judges specifically gave him time and time again the opportunity to reoffend. And now they're saying that their safety is at risk. How do you respond to that?
Well, I mean, you know, like you said, and thank you for, you know, covering this story. But, you know, this is an individual who'd been arrested 21 times. He'd been released over a dozen times. I mean, here's 8 different mugshots of this guy. Like, if this isn't a cue for any judge, any prosecutor, that he does not belong in the streets, I mean, what else is there? And so obviously there's drug charges, right? Mm-hmm. But you have indecent exposure. You have sexual battery. This guy was a predator. This crime was preventable, and you literally have a woman who was raped to death on the steps of a church. If you and I were to write a screenplay about a case like this, and we were to present it to Hollywood, that judges would just allow someone like this back on the street, they would reject it because it's laughable. But it's happening. Mm-hmm. It just happened. And so that's why I've called for the National Guard to come to Nashville. When you have a wackadoodle state rep who used her car to literally block ICE, putting them in harm's way, you have a city mayor, a radical activist city mayor, who doxed ICE agents, potentially a federal crime. And now we have these judges who released a predator. And they say that it's political rhetoric. No, it's called accountability. This woman should be alive. She should have never been raped. And if these judges and the state rep aren't going to do their job, I'm going to do it for them. Because the people of Nashville deserve to be safe. Our wives, our sisters, our daughters deserve to be safe. This guy was from Somalia. If they had followed the law, he should have been arrested. And quite frankly, he should be deported. And so that's why I've reached out to ICE and I've requested that he be deported as quickly as possible. Because right now we're hearing that the district attorney is going to evoke Jillian's law and that this guy will never go to jail. He'll go to some cushy hospital and they'll release him in a few years. No way, no how, enough is enough. I'm going to do everything I can to get this guy deported, that he's off the streets of Nashville and the women of Nashville are safe from this predator. And quite frankly, while I've been a leader on this issue, acknowledging the fact, like Paul Revere screaming and saying, they're coming, they're here, we've got to fight back. And if you don't believe me, look at Minneapolis. If you don't believe me, look at London and France, where you have cities that are overrun by migrants. There are no go zones in those cities. And then you look at Sweden, where the migrant population is, what, 10, 12%, but yet they're responsible for 80% of the rapes. No more.
Yeah. Well,
we have to acknowledge that they do not belong in this country.
Well, we do. We do. And, you know, thankfully, President Trump is really putting this on the map for so many Americans.
Amen.
Who probably aren't familiar with this population and what goes on in their own countries. And we just played a couple of clips earlier in the show to detail that for them as well. But I want to get back to Jillian's law, because when you said that just really made me upset, because I didn't really know that they were trying to use this. And I want to dive into that, because that's something that's really meant for those who have mental illnesses. This is something that obviously is now being manipulated. If this is true, that they would use this law to go out there and to prevent someone who obviously brutally raped a woman. I know he's being accused of it, and he, of course, has his court date. But first responders were there to intervene in all of this. There's obviously eyewitnesses to this account. Explain the Jillian Law angle to this. How are you hearing this?
Well, obviously, we have sources. But that being said, look, if this guy's mentally ill, then he can be mentally ill in his own country, not here, not on our streets, not in Nashville, not in Tennessee, and not the United States. I'm going to get this guy deported, and I'm going to make sure that Nashville is safe from sexual predators like this guy. He should have never come to this country. Obama let him in back in 2015. Look, his culture, his community, his people do not belong here, period. I say it and I say it out loud. I get criticized for it, but enough is enough. And again, look at the facts. Europe is overrun. Sweden, and I go back, just look at the data. The migrants are 10 to 12% of the population. They're responsible for 80% of the sexual assaults. No, I'm not going to tolerate this kind of nonsense. And the district attorney, how dare you to try to get this guy off, a known sexual predator who raped a woman to death. That is not the purpose of this law. And like I said, I'm working with ICE. I've reached out to ICE. We're going to get this guy deported. He's not going to be on the streets of Nashville. And if the judges and the DA in Nashville are not going to do the job, by George, I'm going to do it for him.
the fact that we even have to argue this, it feels like common sense, but sadly we have DAs that don't want to do their job, that are being funded by liberals, liberal groups that despise this country and want to see it absolutely collapse. I can't even imagine how we have to make this argument. I'm going to reach out to the DA's office because this should not be allowed. That is infuriating that they're manipulating the laws to side with someone who, I mean, it's eyewitness accounts at this point. I mean, people saw what happened to this woman before she lost her life. I mean, this is totally egregious. The fact that it even happened outside of a church on their steps makes it even more just stomach turning at right. this point. It's absolutely egregious. And you cite, which is common sense, that if people really wanted to know more about Islam and about the people that were important to our country, all they have to do is crack open a Quran, over 100 verses in it, preach about violence, about encouraging their followers to conduct violence on non-believers. They believe that women who are non-believers could be used as sex slaves. It is in their own Quran. You don't have to sit here and just pretend like this isn't real. Read their own words. And we constantly are, and I know, Congressman, you're dealing with the pushback on all of this, because anyone who speaks out about this is targeted by groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, obviously, and CARA as well, who want to continue to sit there and pretend like you can't go out there and criticize these people. But the reality is this is what we've imported. So many, and it's not just you. I mean, Amy Mech is constantly dealing with threats because of these groups. When you look at states like Florida, when you look at states like Texas, who are brave enough to go out there and designate these two groups as terrorist organizations, what are your thoughts on that? Because we're hoping that this catches some momentum, obviously, and that other states also follow suit.
Absolutely. Quite frankly, we should do it nationally at the federal level. But that being said, you know, during the Cold War, if a governor, if a president were to import known Russian spies, operatives, or, you know, individuals from the Eastern Bloc that were known, they don't like America, they're working for the other government, it would have been considered treasonous. And now you fast forward to the modern day, and we have the Obama and the Biden administration who literally flooded our communities with people from countries who hate us, with people who hate us. They commit crimes. You look at Minneapolis, where you have billions of dollars in fraud committed by individuals who don't belong here, don't want to be a part of our society. They're just here to take advantage of the American taxpayer. And like I said, if you don't believe me, if you think this is political rhetoric, just look what's happening in Europe. Look at London. I just saw a video of a guy who tried to rape. She was 14 or 15 years old, and his defense was the fact that he's from another country, and in their country, it's okay. That individual doesn't belong in London. He does not belong in the United States. He does not belong in Tennessee. He does not belong in my community. Enough is enough. I'm not going to stick my head into the sand. I'm not going to back down, and I'm going to fight on this issue. It's my country. I want my country back, and I'm going to fight to my last breath.
Yeah, and we're thankful that you're that dedicated to the cause, because we know that this comes with a toll, and the toll usually is a lot of threats, a lot of name-calling, and that's the reason why we can't back down from this. And you're not alone as well, like I mentioned earlier. I want to play clip 16 for you, because Stephen Miller, obviously one of the very outspoken members of the Trump administration on this subject matter, continues to hit this part out of the ballpark at this point. He doesn't fear the name-calling anymore, and he's addressing the Somalian issue specifically. Take a listen.
So you see with a lot of these immigrant groups, not only is the first generation unsuccessful, again, Somalia is a clear example here, not only is the first generation unsuccessful, but you see persistent issues in every subsequent generation. So you see consistent high rates of welfare use, consistent high rates of criminal activity, consistent failures to assimilate. But this shouldn't be a surprise, Will. It's just common sense. If Somalians cannot make Somalia successful, why would we think that the track record would be any different in the United States? Go third world country by third world country. No one's saying, look, there are people all over the world that are great people. But you look at the society. If Libya keeps failing, if the Central African Republic keeps failing, if Somalia keeps failing, right? If these societies all over the world continue to fail, you have to ask yourself, if you bring those societies into our country and then give them unlimited free welfare, what do we think is going to happen? You're going to replicate the conditions that they left over and over and over again.
Congressman, most people think it's discriminatory to sit here and say that we should not be bringing these people into the country. The president obviously looking for different ways to make sure that we stop importing people from Somalia and other countries that are from obviously third world countries, but most importantly do not share our same values. What are your thoughts on the president's efforts this far and what Stephen Miller just said there?
Well, first off, you know, Stephen Miller is a dear friend of mine, and he hits the nail on the head. He says the quiet part out loud. When you're importing third world individuals with third world values, you can't be surprised that their community becomes a third world. You can't be surprised or pretend that you're surprised because, look, the worst welfare conditions in the United States of America are better than anywhere in Africa. Anywhere in that part of the world. And so they come here from their perspective, they're living high on the hog and they turn their communities into crime riddled, predator driven communities. They don't belong here. They will not assimilate here. Their cultures do not mesh with our culture. And at the end of the day, we have to acknowledge that. And I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings, but to the judges in Nashville, when the woman was being raped, when she was taking her last breaths, where was her security? And if the judges think that they need more security, then I would challenge them, join me in calling out the National Guard because every citizen of Nashville deserves that type of security, not just them sitting in their high tower. They're the ones who are releasing sexual predators onto our streets. They're the ones releasing predators and habitual criminals onto our streets. I've had enough. Yeah. This crime should have never have happened. This crime was preventable. The reason this woman was raped to death is because these judges let this guy. And look, if I had a pit bull, a dangerous pit bull, and I'm in a crowd and I let that animal go, I would be responsible for whatever that animal does. These judges are responsible for what this animal did.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And this is the problem that we're dealing with right now in this country. You know, law enforcement agencies, district attorneys, obviously, and judges just seem sometimes to be sympathetic towards these predators, these alleged predators. And they just continuously give them time and time to reoffend. I mean, we've talked about on the show, you know, I live in Texas and sadly in Texas where I live, Dallas, over the last 2 years, we've seen 48 mosques be built. And it obviously has a lasting effect on a lot of us. We see it firsthand. But most importantly, I mean, I keep bringing this up because I think this needs to be the stamp moving forward. There was a man who followed me into my apartment complex. And although he's claiming not to be Muslim, he's not from this country. The documents that I've seen claim that he was born in Egypt. He told someone he was born in Egypt who reached out to me. But he followed me into my staircase. And the only way to get him out of my apartment complex was when I pulled the gun on him. And I think that's what every single woman in this country needs to start doing because we can't trust these judges. We can't trust these law enforcement agencies. The police didn't even want to look into this. They described this as a flirting incident. This man who followed me into my home. So it's up to we the people to take this back and to make sure that we are able and ready to defend ourselves because we are really dealing with this big, big issue here. And the president, obviously, and you guys are one of the very few who are fighting this good fight. But how do we turn things around when law enforcement agencies, judges are refusing to do their jobs and protect the people in this country?
Well, you know, I'll stand up for our first responders, and it was first responders, as you said, that ultimately intervened on this woman's behalf. You know, there were some firemen driving by in their truck. They pulled over. They ran out to try to rescue her. Ultimately, she succumbed to her injuries. But at the end of the day, I think courage is courageous. That is why I and a handful of other members of Congress are willing to talk about this issue. And what I'm seeing is more individuals, more members of Congress that are talking about it. And kudos to the president and Stephen Miller as well. I'm close to both of those men, both of those leaders. And we must acknowledge the fact. And again, if you think it's political rhetoric, all you have to do is look at London.
Yeah.
Look at Paris. Look at Sweden, where they've literally designed rape-proof panties in Sweden because sexual crime has become an everyday occurrence in Sweden at the hands of these migrants. Enough is enough. When you import the third world values into your country, don't be surprised when it becomes a third world community. We have to fight back, and we have a radical city mayor who's sympathetic to these individuals. We have judges who are sympathetic to these individuals, and if they're not going to do their jobs, I took an oath of office to the people of the 5th District, to the people of Tennessee. I'm going to defend them. I will do it on the streets of Nashville. I'll ride through the community like Paul Revere and say they're coming. It's time for us to stand up and take back our country.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we need to do. Before you go, though, I want to play this clip because I saw that you shared it, and it's one of the Metro Nashville councilwomen, Porterfield. She had a very interesting setup to the moment she's decided to start speaking, and we can use some comical relief. So, folks, take a listen to clip 17.
Good evening, everyone. Today is December the 4th. I want to start by acknowledging that this meeting is being held on the unceded, stolen land of the Cherokee, Shawnee, and Yuchi people, and to remind you that no one is illegal on stolen land built by stolen labor.
Okay, you guys are up against a lot in Tennessee right now. Just your thoughts about, I mean, what an open. What is she even talking about there?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that she can walk and chew gum at the same time. But that being said, you know, that is a chapter in our history. They were a conquered people, and the United States of America was built by the hands of individuals who came here, who wanted a better life, who assimilated and built the best nation in the world. We are the sole superpower. The worst day in the United States is better than anywhere else in the world. I stand by those comments. And oh, by the way, if you come into this country in violation of the law, you're an illegal and you should get the hell out.
I like that. That is one way to end a great interview, my friend. Thank you for calling in today. Thank you for joining us, Congressman Andy Ogles. We greatly appreciate your time as always. And keep up the good fight. It's worth fighting.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, folks, a lot more underway. We're appreciative of Congressman Andy Ogles joining the program today. A lot there, a lot to take in. You know, again, this fight is the fight that's worth fighting because, folks, if we allow this to happen, what's happened throughout Europe, we keep talking about it. It's not about immigration. It's about conquering the West. And once you start accepting that, once you start realizing that, once we start reminding people of that, I mean, that's when we win. I mean, we have to keep telling people this is not about immigration. Stop with the immigration talk. This is a desire to conquer the West, and they've done so throughout Europe. But we are standing in the way right now. And this is a Christian nation. Whether they want to believe it or not, this is a Christian nation. And you cannot sit here and conquer the West like how so they desire to do just that. It's very fascinating to sit back, watch, obviously, as many of you guys know, because It's a heated issue. It's a heated issue. We're thankful, though, Republicans are starting to get bold on this issue. Obviously, for places like Dallas, it's a little too late. It's a little too late, but we could save the rest of the country. And great work, Amy Mack over at the Rare Foundation. She does incredible work. I mean, incredible work. She was the one who was screaming from the top of the hill about how Florida is also being conquered as well. And I think most people didn't even realize it. Again, you don't realize it because, like in Texas, Epic, I've driven around, it is people who are able to just live in their own community. They don't have to travel out. They've got their supermarkets, their restaurants all nearby. In Epic, though, when you drive around the East Plano Islamic Center, they don't want you calling it that anymore, though. They have a new PR push for the Meadow. When you drive around there, the street names have been changed. And the street names, specifically because they own the land, they could do this, have been changed over to Islamic conquerors. I mean, what else do you need to see, folks? What else do you need to see? Again, Amy Mack doing incredible work over at the Rare Foundation. That is R-A-I-R Foundation. If you're not following her on X, you got to do so. She's uncovering all the truths. And she's also the one that got Florida to step it up and to go out there and to actually push back. She was screaming about this issue for a very long time, constantly posting clips of their own words being used against them at that point. I mean, we found out here in Collin County that there was a mosque taking in speakers that were talking about beating their wives, but don't beat your wife and leave a mark, giving them advice as to where you could hit your wives. To bring them back to common sense, of course. And don't beat them till you kill them. No, just beat them enough so they get back onto the common sense angle of all this. The absurdity is off the charts, but that's what's going on right now in our country, so everyone needs to wake up. All right, we've got more to discuss in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. I'm going to dive into the Jasmine Crockett saga because this woman was grilled on running for the U.S. Senate. She doesn't realize she needs Hispanic voters, and she's backing out. She's trying not to use her words against her, of course. In the meantime, though, head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. It's 40% off the entire website for a limited time over at the AlexJonesStore.com right now. 40% off, folks.
I need you to support the broadcast financially, and I just need those of you on the fence that have never gone to the AlexJonesStore.com to go get the ultramethylene blue. I'm only going to sell something that's really good for you and works great. Because, again, a good salesman sells a product that works and is good and that I use. So take the challenge. Go to theauctionstore.com now and get Ultraviolet Blue. And it's the greatest because it's so good it hits in like 30 minutes. But the real effects happen the days and weeks as it builds up in you. The Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, that's going to take a few weeks to kick in. You get your wife pregnant, she'd have a baby for 9 months, folks. You only got to wait a few weeks with this. The effects of these are incredible. I can do hours on each product, and these are the best. You study Irish sea moss, you study Shilajit, you study bovine colostrum. It's all the rage forever. These are sure things. I don't go get stuff that isn't already a sure thing. It's so easy. 90% of my waking hours is doing nothing but studying and broadcasting and fighting. And I just want you to keep me commissioned in this fight. Where have you seen results like this? And it's not me. I'm the opposite of prideful. I'm God-fearing. I fear nothing but God. I'm actually fearful of the position I've been put in by God that I'm like, need to do a better job. It's the opposite. I'm mad at myself. The crew can tell you behind the scenes. I am pissed off at myself. I am angry that I've been given so much power and I'm not executing it correctly. But God loves sudden death over time. God loves keeping you humble. When you buy from us, you're going to get a great product and you're betting on an organization that has the track record of victory. That's why the bad guys hate us. We know what we're doing. We know how to stop them. They want us off air. If I'm going to sell you something because I'm self-funded, it's going to work. You are missing out so bad if you don't get our Ultra DNA Revival new product, our incredible highest quality, the very best type of creatine gummies and powder, our bovine colostrum, all of it. 60% off right now. It ends next week. Get your orders in by tomorrow. You'll get it anywhere in the country before Christmas. But we need the support. And like I said, I'm out of money. I'm out of stuff to sell. I'm out of whatever. We have about a $400,000 underage going into next month. I mean, literally, to pay the rent and the payroll. I've got my Rolodex out. And I mean, there'll be no strings attached. But I'm starting to call people and folks saying, all right, you know, give me money. Because I ain't giving up. As much as I don't like begging for money, I give it up to the New World Order and rolling over and dying. I hate that even more. But I am literally down to the point now. My parents have lost everything they got. I don't have anything. I don't care. I'm happier than ever. I never had a bunch of stuff. But it doesn't matter when you're up against the wall and you ain't got no more to give. You understand? I'm giving you everything I got. And quite frankly, I'm more alive, I'm stronger, I'm smarter than I've ever been. In fact, I'm high as a kite in this fight. I love this. But the fact is only a fraction of our people are engaged. Oh, the Muslims are engaged. The Jews are engaged. I'm not attacking either group. You know why they're so powerful? They're engaged. They're involved in their group. Well, who are we? Well, we're Americans of every race, color, and creed that just want freedom and our country and our republic. Well, then you better start acting like it. Wake up, folks. Spread this message. The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation.
Don't worry. It's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all here. Of course, a lot going on all around the world. We're catching you up on. I wanted to kind of bring it back to this insane video that we talked about earlier in Taiwan. Multiple people injured. Looks like the number has gone up. Three people have been killed, including the individual, the attacker, who decided to begin just stabbing people randomly in Taiwan. Now, this is strange given the fact that it's Taiwan. And we have the actual video of this person pulling the knife out of his bag and then running up to a crowd of people, as you see here in this footage. And he just starts stabbing them. Sadly, two people were killed. The third is obviously this individual. He fell off a roof, it looks like. He made his way into the metro
and continue to stab people. 9 people in total have been wounded. We don't know motive yet. His name is, he's 27-year-old Chen Wen. He apparently also threw a smoke grenade nearby under an underground exit. Now, again, we don't know motive. This is in Taiwan, so that's what's just so strange. Local hospitals reported these 3 deaths, of course, and these 9 people who have been injured. We are still waiting for more information as it trickles out, but the footage is just completely, completely disturbing. And so we'll keep bringing those updates as it continues. As we opened up the show earlier today with, we detailed specifically how the Brown University and the MIT shooter were all connected. Now, we had Drew Hernandez on just a few moments ago, and he did also discuss how Israel is claiming that there might actually be an Iranian tie to all of this. Again, the individual was a Portuguese national. He was in our country due to the lottery system, but there apparently is some type of concern where Israel is stepping in now and is looking to investigate this to see if this was something regarding the Iranian government. So we'll keep you updated on that as we learn more, of course. But I want to switch things up a little bit. The AI threat. As you guys know, President Trump has made it one of the main purposes of his administration to kind of focus on AI. He wants us to be the number one leaders in AI. I don't know about that one, but this is what he's saying. He wants us to be able to be the leaders in AI. Well, the president signed an executive order this week, and it's kind of concerning when you look at it. It limits the state regulations of AI, and it would possibly allow just the federal overrule those regulations is kind of what his EO is going with these days. The governor in Wisconsin, Tony Evers, is warning about this, saying that this would make kids and families in Wisconsin less safe. Joining me to discuss all of this is Mel Kay. She's the host of the Mel Kay Show. She's also the author of Americans Anonymous as well, which is available right now on Amazon. It gives you the power to take back your government. And she's outlined that for you in Americans Anonymous, which is available right now on Amazon. Mel Kay joins us now. Mel, thank you for being here. When it comes to AI and this technology movement that's going on right now, I know that you're the one who's been screaming about this for a while, but it looks like President Trump, he's committed to making this a top issue for his administration. He wants to be able to lead the way in this AI battle. What do you make about this EO that he just signed, this executive order where he is trying to take away the regulations from the state and make it more of a federal regulated industry?
Well, also, you know, he's proposed a tech force also in conjunction with all of the tech companies of which he met with not too long ago. Mm-hmm. All of this is very disturbing for somebody like me who's been covering the technocratic global governance model that has been pushed on us by the globalists for decades. And this is actually, to me, exactly that same direction. And I'm sorry to say this because people want to believe the best, but there is a global public infrastructure that is already built. It went on steroids to finish it during the first term of the auto pen, and it is almost completely done. And it is interoperable, which means the whole world is on this same global public infrastructure. And who are the partners? All of the partners that Donald Trump is listing as his partners in taking over tech on the world stage. So the disturbing part here is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights essentially have been debatable since the Unconstitutional Patriot Act. But this is a whole new level of that. And this is not being voted on by the people. And the people have no say in this. They don't get to decide. And again, is efficiency and technocracy the route that America wants to take? That is the closest route to totalitarian track and trace surveillance agenda 2030. And yet what we're seeing now is people are lining up to get their eyes scanned. They're giving their handprints. I hear that soon you're going to be charged if you don't have a real ID. All of this is unconstitutional. I don't understand where the Constitution fits in. And as I believe it was Thomas Jefferson, oh no, maybe it was Madison that said, those that would give up liberty for security deserve neither. And at this point, the United States of America, maybe we're getting kind of back our physical border, but where is the border in cyberspace at this point? And again, I've talked a lot about the model of stakeholder capitalism, global public-private partnership, all of that. Well, they're all partners of the World Economic Forum, which is right now being run, unfortunately, by Larry Fink, who is also the head of BlackRock, that is investing trillions of dollars in U.S. taxpayer money through all the pension funds that he runs through BlackRock into Agenda 2030 in real time. And then Trump pulls him out to join the negotiating in Ukraine. I really don't know what's going on. And then we had the Susie Wiles article that is just a disaster, and they're all acting like it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. So we are being sabotaged, and the American people have no say about anything. And as long as they allow these NGOs that are between the people and the government running our country, subverting the will of the people, and we're talking about tech lobbyists, we're talking about insurance lobbyists, we're talking about foreign government lobbyists, military-industrial lobbyists, all of these NGOs that connect to them, the American people have no say. Why aren't the American people being asked if we want to have a full technocratic track and trace surveillance? They want to train a tech force to make the entire government run on AI and algorithms. Well, if you've ever listened to Noah Harari or anyone else that has talked about this openly on stage at the UN or the World Economic Forum or at the COP conferences, we're walking right into that. And I don't hear anything or anyone talking about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, let alone Donald Trump was abused for 4 years, really 8 years, but 4 years of lawfare. So what happens when all of this technology gets into the hands of the Democrat Socialist of America? You know, and they don't want two parties. They shouldn't even be allowed to be running for any offices at all, because they are technically funded by globalist labor organizations that are against freedom. They're essentially global socialists. But here we have AOC is leading, apparently, for 2028. Democrat Socialist of America, Mamdani, Democrat Socialist of America. So when he transfers all this stuff through J.D. Vance or, God forbid, AOC, and they have this kind of power, what then? What does America look like then? Where's the Constitution or Bill of Rights? He didn't have a Fourth Amendment right. None of us did while Obama was spying on us. Then while Hillary Clinton started the whole spy campaign. Then when Obama picked it up. Then the last 4 years. I mean, America is not a free country right now. And all they're doing is handing over the tools to be less free. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Mel, it's frustrating to sit back and watch, because, you know, I say all the time, I feel like at best, all we're doing is we're hitting the pause button on this takeover. But it's much worse than that at this point. It's very obvious that they just don't even care. They don't even, I mean, understand the issue. I mean, that's just kind of me playing nice right now and saying that this is due to ignorance, because like you just mentioned, too, Fourth Amendment rights being violated. You know, we talked about it last time you were on the show. FISA's up for potential renewal soon. We're waiting to see those conversations begin. You want to add to that?
Yeah, where is Rosemary Collier's report on Barack Obama spying on this whole country? You know, I mean, Snowden is in hiding somewhere or is in Russia. We got Assange. They tortured him for 13 years. The truth is, America has lost our freedom. We are completely captured. And now, because they want to be the first in the space race or AI, as if they're not 20 years ahead. I mean, this is the big lie of all of tech, is that everything that DARPA, InQtel created, which is basically the internet and all the social media platforms, are still fully infiltrated. They haven't ended the sharing with the Five Eyes nations. Barack Obama and Eric Holder spied on 3 million American citizens that were ideologically unaligned with them. Nobody's ever put out the Collier report. That's a 99-page report on the spying by the Obama administration that was, of course, restarted as soon as Donald Trump won into all of us. The last 4 years, there were 10,000 basically illegal searches into innocent American citizens. The warrantless surveillance 702 has ended any kind of Fourth Amendment or probable cause. I mean, and you know what? They're not thinking long term in terms of, does the United States of America want to be controlled by algorithms and AI and have no freedom and no say and nobody to address your grievances to? I mean, we're already being, all these January 6 people got put in jail for just showing up at the Capitol. What's going to happen when you have nobody to even talk to and they come and get you? So I think it's very dangerous. They're allowing the Democrat Socialist of America to take over the Democratic Party. And then at the same time, they're also not stopping the illegal situation that is going on with all of the I believe, the violations of our rights, from scanning your eyes and saying they're not keeping them, they're keeping them, scanning your hands, getting every aspect of public service and social security and everything onto an AI algorithm system to put in whose hands. Mm-hmm. And why haven't the American people had a say in this? Because I don't think if the American people fully understood global governance and how this works, and that all of this tech is interoperable and we are sharing it with the EU that is full on totalitarian and going into the Fourth Reich. I mean, we are sharing all of our intelligence with the Five Eyes nations that overthrew this country with Barack Obama in 2016. Nobody's been held accountable, and I don't see that happening. And then Susie Wiles goes and does this Vanity Fair article. I've never been so infuriated. And then they all defend her like she's the greatest ever. She just gave them all the lawfare people an out. They are going to destroy us if we don't get our crap together. But I am telling you right now, that Vanity Fair article is disgusting. She exonerated Bill Clinton, and I have talked to victims from 2008 forward. Virginia Gouffre and I were back and forth. Her book, Bill Clinton needs to be held accountable. And Susie Wiles says there's no evidence of him going to Epstein Island. There's 27 trips. He went to Morocco. He went to Africa. All these places with Jeffrey Epstein. He was at the White House dozens of times. And this Susie Wiles does an interview where she says Trump's on a retribution tour. This isn't about Trump. This is about the overthrow of the duly elected president that the United States of America, the people, elected in 2016, and a color revolution by those same people that is still going on. And then this woman goes, does 11 interviews with a hostile Vanity Fair after what happened with Wolf during the first term with Bannon. And then she exonerates Bill Clinton. I mean, I don't understand what is going on, but I know that all of us that sacrificed our lives and our careers and everything else to help, I thought, get some justice, and now we're being undermined at every turn. And Dan Bongino leaving, well, I hope he comes and tells us what's really going on. But anyone that's acting like that Susie Wiles Vanity Fair article isn't devastating to the cause that we fought for in justice and in Epstein is out of their minds. And to see every single one of those people in that inner circle, including Donald Trump, step up and say that this woman's the best thing that ever happened to America. Oh my God. Well, let's talk to some of the victims of Jeffrey Epstein that have been in the room with and on the plane with Bill Clinton. I mean, she literally said that there was no evidence against Bill Clinton going to the island. That's a total lie. Even the Secret Service went with him. So, I mean, I just don't understand what's going on. And then she says, you know, this is retribution. The crimes weren't against Donald Trump. They were against the people of the United States of America. They were against the voters. The voters have no voice and no vote and haven't in decades. And now we thought maybe we would take back the country, and they're going in the opposite direction. And it's really disturbing.
Well, Mel, let's like hover over the Vanity Fair interview for a second, because she didn't give just one interview. They gave 11 interviews. And that's just mind-blowing to me, given the fact that we know that these publications hate
Recorded.
Our gut. Well, that's the other
Recorded.
Point. So she's over here saying, oh, they misrepresented what I said. Okay, well, obviously it's recorded. So likely, because you're trying to discredit this reporter and how they represent the interview you gave, we'll likely get some type of audio recording soon. I truly do hope so, because I'd really like to hear both sides of all of this. Because when you sit back and you read the quotes that were given, I mean, I'm scratching my head wondering what the heck are, what are you doing? Because again, when you talked about all the key people who are being brought into the White House consistently, the big tech companies, obviously the people that funded, you know, Zuckerbucks and all of these people who were against us, we're all wondering what the heck is going on here. And then we hear, oh, the gatekeeper is Susie Wiles. Now, listen, I've never met the woman, so I don't know who she is personally, but I could tell you, according to people I've spoken to, she was pushed out of Governor Ron DeSantis' team for a reason. And then she made her way into the Trump administration, as you see now. But you're wondering what the heck's happening here. Everyone says she's the gatekeeper. This is her thing. The 11 interviews doesn't really seem to be like an accident. It seems like you probably gave them a couple of bits intentionally at this point. He even called J.D. Vance, who laughed it off and said, yeah, I am a conspiracy theorist.
I mean,
but it's not okay.
Disgusting. But listen, okay, they did this the first term. Bannon allowed Jeffrey Wolf into the White House for a year. And then he wrote two books and hit pieces. So they do it again with Vanity Fair that we know is 1,000% against Trump. But worse than that, it's people had to have allowed this. And again, all they are doing is putting the focus on maybe Ron DeSantis is a better call. I know people don't want to hear that, but the bottom line at this point is there is full betrayal in the people, at least. You know, I'm very suppressed, censored, banned for life from YouTube, so I'm not a big fish, but I will tell you, my audience is furious about this article, and they are acting like it's a joke, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. She exonerated Bill Clinton in the article. She said that Donald Trump is wrong, that there's no evidence. I know, I spoke to many people since 2008. Go look at like the work of Whitney Webb or Jason Burmes or any of these people that have been out there. I mean, what a betrayal to Virginia Giuffre. Who is this woman? And what is she doing? It just feels like we're being sabotaged. And at the end of the day, like I said, Americans Anonymous is out there to give people power, because the only people you have is in your backyard. And frankly, any idea that they can salvage the FBI after what has gone on since Holder and Obama went in there to totally infiltrate every agency is a joke. Okay. I cannot understand the level of betrayal, and that apparently all of the people at the White House that surround him, including the press secretary, don't seem to understand that people put their lives on the line. People went to jail for years for sticking up for Donald Trump, for not turning on him. I was just with another January 6er, Robert Morris. They basically told him, if you say that it's Donald Trump's fault, we'll let you off. And all these people wouldn't. And they went to jail and they had their lives destroyed. They haven't had their lives made right. And frankly, you know, I'm glad that Donald Trump got $24 million from YouTube, but where's my payout from being banned because of questioning the election? And then they say that they have all this election fraud evidence, yet what we're still seeing is that Jack Smith is saying yesterday that he wants to go in the public and show all the evidence that Donald Trump tried to throw over the 2020 election. He walks in and he walks out like he owns the world. Meanwhile, Peter Navarro doesn't go into the fake January 6th committee and gets shackled in the middle of an airport and thrown in jail for 4 months. I mean, where are the raids of the Open Society, of Brookings, of Act Blue, of where are the white collar crimes that are the easiest to prosecute being prosecuted? And all they're going after is the grand conspiracy after Donald Trump and the Mar-a-Lago raid. What about the grand conspiracy to defraud the people of the United States of America by 51 intelligence agents before the 2020 election? That should be a crime. Hello? This is a global conspiracy to overthrow the duly elected president of the United States of America in 2016 that was participated in by the UK, by definitely Australia, UK, CIA, in all these places, Brennan, Clapper, all of them. And Jack Smith strolls in there, acts like he's still going to prove on the world stage that Donald Trump tried to overthrow the government because he wouldn't accept the results of the 2020 election. Yesterday, Tulsi Gabbard told us almost a year ago that they have overwhelming evidence about the 2020 election being stolen. We know everything about the 51 agents. All these people that were persecuted on January 6th for January 6th and the Fedsurrection are waiting for the evidence that they were right. I just do not understand what is happening. And every time that, you know, he was going to do his big speech the other night about his wins, well, to the people that suffered along with him the last 8 years, we don't see the wins because we're not seeing them that have anything to do with us. I'm glad that they want to make the economy great again. But you know what? All they're doing is waiting out Donald Trump. And then what's going to happen? Nothing's been changed about the elections. Okay. Because they're not putting any of this out. They're not pursuing this. And so, you know, what's going to happen in 2026 when Mark Elias and everyone still are pushing, and Norm Eisen, again, the leader of all of this, is out there gloating about Susie Wiles' interview and how they won't be able to prosecute anyone now because of the things she said about retribution. And Donald Trump says she's the most powerful woman in the world. So, I mean, it's just a total shit show. But all I can say is, again, we the people of the United States have power where we live. And if people don't start getting involved and getting out of their comfort zone and running for office and taking over and starting to try to ban the Democrat Socialists of America from running anywhere in this country at all, just like the communists are banned from running in America, and we start as citizens and patriots taking over our city councils, our school boards, our land management, all the things that the DSA and the Red-Green Access are trying to take over, if we don't fight locally where we are, DC is not fighting for us. They are fighting to put us on the global public infrastructure and to create wealth, which is great, but wealth with criminals running the country, which is apparently what's going to happen if we don't see some prosecutions and the 2020 election exposed. Well, you know what? Then America's the last stand for humanity, for freedom and liberty and truth and justice. And it will be over. And it will be because of this administration. I'm sorry. A year in and nobody has been held accountable that could in any way, shape or form protect our elections, get retribution. They're saying, no, it's not retribution. It is justice. And it is justice for the people, not for Donald Trump. I mean, at this point, for God's sakes, the country is completely captured and they're doing nothing to stop it except for saying you're going to make more money and you're going to. Well, where's freedom and liberty and justice and truth and transparency? Because until that 2020 election, if they have all this evidence, is dealt with, there is none.
Yeah. Well, I'm consistently.
I'm sorry, very upset this morning.
No, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be upset this morning. Because, Mel, I'm consistently asking questions behind the scenes to see what's going on, to get some type of insight. Because I didn't want to jump off this, like, negative black pill bridge and just tell everyone, you know, nothing's happening behind the scenes and we're all being lied to and we're all being dragged on right now. But the reality is every time I ask this question, I say, you know, there's no big arrests. And I know a lot of people are pissed off because every day I tweet out about how there's been no arrests from the Obama-Biden regime as of yet. And I always put the date every single day. And that gets a lot of people in D.C. angry because I'm told, oh, it's a process. We have to wait for the process. It's a process. But the reality of it is, we saw it firsthand. There was no process when the Biden regime was in power. They quickly, within a matter of days, had hundreds of conservatives arrested for taking an unauthorized tour of the Capitol on January 6th. And they've tried to demonize these people, ruin their lives. And we saw it firsthand. And this is like, this was it for me. When I watched these court filings, when the Proud Boys filed their lawsuit against the DOJ for violating their constitutional rights and Pam Bondi's office, which I reached out for comment on. They didn't want to comment on it, of course. Pam Bondi's office wrote that they wanted this lawsuit, this $100 million lawsuit, dismissed because they believe that the DOJ has sovereign immunity for any type of constitutional claim. And then you see them dropping information right now over with John Solomon, with Fox News, about all the egregious unconstitutional
things. Give me a break.
It's like... But then they tell you that they can't say anything because it's an ongoing investigation. So you're telling me the information that's being leaked from the top of the FBI to these outlets is probably what then it's not being used for current investigation. I mean, give me a break. I'm not going to sit here and gaslight our people and our audience into thinking that something's happening behind the scenes. But Mel, I'll give you the final minute to sign off on this one. I mean, it's just so frustrating. And then they go after you if you decide to talk against the Trump administration.
I know. And I'm done. I don't care anymore. And you know what? I'm so censored. I mean, look at my Twitter, Elon Musk. And I'm banned for life from YouTube. Everyone gets back to the channel. What do I care? All I know is that I spent 4 years fighting my ass off, traveling this country with a lot of these people that are now in that administration. And I know that they have the evidence. And the one thing the American people should unite on is, frankly, from January 1st, 2020, Washington, D.C. was a crime scene. And you know what? Scott Bessent right now runs is the de facto head of the IRS. Well, how about a DOGE audit of all 435 of those worthless people and the other 100, every senator, every congressperson, everyone in the executive branch from January 1st, 2020 to date should have a full DOGE audit. And let's find out where all this money's gone and why we've been so screwed and who has allowed this. Because I frankly think the entire D.C. is a crime scene and there is no salvaging it. You must save this country in your own backyard. That is the only way forward. Americans Anonymous, I lay it out. I did not think that it would come to this point that I myself would say enough. And you know what? None of these people have fought for me and they know what I've done. And frankly, it's okay. But everyone out there has to be their own hero. Enough
Mel,
is enough.
Thank you so much for your time, girl. We appreciate you as always. Fired up on this beautiful Friday. Have a great rest of your day.
I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and in Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? And for poverty. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustain energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine. Relax, wake up, clarity, and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality. B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong. Tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on Ultramethylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number 4 straight ahead.